Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 through verse 5. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, and in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us.
Thank you, Brian, for those great songs tonight. As I began this week to think about hope and some of the things that maybe we hope for, my mind couldn't help but drift back to when I was a child, and maybe you all can relate to this a little bit. Some of the silly things that we hoped for, some of the silly things that maybe we prayed for. I remember laying in my bed one night hoping that I would awake with a huge mountain of money in my room to be able to buy all the toys that I wanted. You know, or Christmas time rolls around, or your birthday, and your mom asks you, you know, Bryce, what do you want for your birthday this year? What do you want for Christmas this year? And you make this whole big list of everything that you could possibly imagine that you would want. And that day comes, and you don't get anything that's on that list. That is such a bummer as a child. But as we grow up, you know, some of us, we become businessmen, some of us preachers, some teachers. You guys have been involved in this, the planning process, the dreaming stages of trying to get your business, trying to get whatever it is you've got going off the ground and going in a good direction. It takes a long time. When you're a little kid, it takes you a long time to work up that list of all the things that you wanted for Christmas. You search the Toys R Us catalog for hours. It takes a long time to get those plans down, but it can be gone just like that. Faster than you can blink your eye, the hope that you've put in all of that stuff is gone. It's amazing how it just feels like your whole bubble has been burst that day. Hope is absolutely vital to our existence as human beings. If we don't have something to hope for, something to look forward to, there ain't any reason to get out of bed in the morning, is there? Life is not worth living if you don't have something to hope in. I was reading a book the other day, and it was talking about World War II and some of the POWs, and it just went through, it was just chapter after chapter after chapter of different men and the stories that they could tell of the horrors that they went through and the things that they had to suffer in those prison camps. But I couldn't help noticing that there seemed to be one common thread through each one of those things. The thing that got them through, you know, that year and a half, 2 years, some even longer than that, that they spent in those camps, was that hope. The hope of a better tomorrow. They had hope in God. And that's what was able to pull them through. You know, one guy in particular, he said, you know, we were standing there in line as we were marching. He said, and I just couldn't help but thank God that I was alive. And know that it was God that saved me. And trust in God that He's going to get me through this. And the hope that a Christian has, or at least a Christian should have, is no different. If you claim to be a follower of Christ tonight, you have the hope of a better tomorrow, don't you? As we look at this third one of Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's fair for us to realize that the hope that we all have is heaven. We have hope that one day we'll get to be in heaven. Our better tomorrow is that hope that we have something waiting for us beyond this life. There's more to it than not getting all the toys that you wanted at Christmas. There's more to it than not seeing that business that you always dreamed of succeed. I also think it's fair to realize then more often than not, we lose sight of this hope that is before us. We get caught up in the things going on in this life and the things going on in the here and the now. And we forget about tomorrow. We forget about that future that we have. And I want to suggest to us tonight that we must be focused on that hope, because it's vital to our existence on this earth as followers of Christ. If we don't have this one hope inside of us, there's no sense in calling yourself a Christian. There's nothing more vital to the unity in church than this hope. It guards the unity. It keeps this unity. And it's a hope that lies ahead of us. It's something that we can hold on to, that we can hold up like a banner. Dwight was talking about that. The banner of God this morning. We have to be able to hold this hope up, because that's the one point, the one thing that we can all rally around, that as Christians on this earth we can all get behind. It's an inheritance that we're all going to share. Isn't that an interesting thought? That not only is that day going to happen, that one day you and I will get to see heaven, I hope, but that we're going to share it. It's not going to be just me in heaven. It's not going to be just you in heaven. That you might actually have to share heaven with that person sitting across the auditorium that you might not care too much about. We are all going to be there. And it's something that we should all be able to look forward to. But sometimes we lose that focus and we get caught up in things. Number one, we get caught in looking back. We get caught looking back to where we came from. Not that that's a bad thing. It's good to be able to look back and to remember where it was that you came from, where it was you were before you were a Christian. But our tendency is to dwell on those things, is to dwell on those thoughts. And it's that tendency to dwell that causes division. One of the devil's greatest tools is allowing us to look back on where we were instead of forward to the things that we're called to. One of his greatest tools is allowing us to look back instead of forward. Does that make sense? We get caught looking back. If you don't believe me, look in the New Testament. The church was absolutely full of it, wasn't it? You know, because it was hard, especially for Peter, to see that no longer is there Jew, no longer is there Greek, no longer does it matter if you're a Roman, if you were bound or if you're free. Looking back at those things that once divided everybody carries through into where we are now. You know, not only those, but there was even discrepancies. It was almost like a competition of who you were baptized by. If you're baptized by Paul, if you're baptized by Apollos. Have you ever witnessed this among anybody? Among anybody in the church? You know, you get a room full of people, new Christians especially, and they're all talking about their conversion and telling their story, and sometimes giving their testimony. And it always begins with where they were, doesn't it? It always begins with, well, you know, all the sins that I did. And it almost becomes a contest by the time you get to the third or fourth person. You know, they start talking about their story and they say, oh, that guy thinks he sinned. Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you all the things that I did before I became a Christian. It's like somehow we have to be able to prove that our conversion is somehow greater than somebody else's. We forget that ultimately all conversions are absolutely identical. If it weren't for the grace of God and His absolute power, we wouldn't be able to have this hope. You know, if you look back at the story of Philip Henry, and if you've never heard of him, he is the father of Matthew Henry, who is a great commentator of years ago. You know, he had fallen in, Philip had fallen in love with this girl who was a little bit higher social class than he was. And they fell in love. He asked her to marry him. And she said yes, naturally. And they go to her parents to talk to them about it. And, you know, her dad is just absolutely, you know, no, this is not going to happen. And one of the questions that he asked her was, do you know where he came from? She was able to look him in the eye and say, I have no idea where he came from, but that doesn't matter. What matters is where he's going, and I know exactly where that is. We get caught up in looking at the things that are behind us. Sometimes we get caught up in the story itself. What do I mean by that? Can you imagine the conversation between the blind man that Jesus healed in John chapter 9 and the blind man that Jesus healed in Mark chapter 8? Two completely different stories, two completely different set of circumstances. But could you imagine if they met years later and they started talking? You know, the blind man in John chapter 9, he's asking the man in Mark chapter 8, he says, what did it feel like, you know, when Jesus put the clay and the spittle on your eyes? What did that feel like? And the man in Mark chapter 8 says, clay and spittle, what are you talking about? He didn't do that. And the man from John chapter 9 says, what? He didn't put clay and spittle on your eyes? What are you talking about? Are you sure that was Jesus that healed you? Are you sure it was Jesus? And somehow his conversion becomes better than the one in Mark chapter 8. Do you see where I'm going with that? We get caught up in some of the silliest things when what we really need to do is be able to say Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14 with Paul. It goes like this. He says, "Of course, my friends, I really do not think that I have already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me and do my best to reach for what is ahead. So I run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call for Jesus Christ to life above." We need to forget those things that are behind us. We don't need to dwell on those things. We need to be able to look ahead of us. You know, because it doesn't matter how we got here. It doesn't matter what it is that brought you into this building, what it was that brought you into Christ. What matters is the fact that you're here, that you're able to call yourself a Christian. Secondly, we get caught looking down. We get caught looking at our shoelaces. I was always guilty of this in school. I never wanted to look up to see where I was going. I always had to look down and make sure that my shoes were still tied. It was a really weird thing. But we get caught looking down at where we are in the here and the now. You know, we forget to focus on what's ahead of us, and we try to label everyone. We try to label everything and categorize everyone and make sure that we have a ministry that's tailor-made for absolutely everyone. That's hard to do. And not that these things don't have their place, but to be able to keep the spirit of unity, because the spirit is not divided. We talked about that last week. We need to be able to stay focused on our future. You know, there may be these categories of young, of old, you know, of rich, of poor. But we all have that hope. The hope of getting to heaven. There's just a few of us that might get there a little faster than others. One thing that I wish that we would quit doing as Christians is using this phrase, the church of tomorrow, when we're talking to our young kids, when we're talking to our young people. I wish that that's one phrase that we could get rid from, that we could take out of our vocabulary. Because that is a false assumption. That makes them think that they don't have anything to offer right now. You know, most of the kids that sit on these front pews that are missing are baptized Christians. And when we tell them that they're church of the tomorrow, that makes them think that, okay, I can just sit here and float by. We need to help them see that they're the church of right now. That they're just as much a part of this church as you and I. And that they have something to offer. It's not okay to just float by. They are important to the Lord's church. We need to look forward into what's ahead of us. We need to be able to unite under this banner called hope. The Bible encourages us to do it. In John chapter 14, it says this. It says, "Do not be worried and upset," Jesus told them. "Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am." Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. "I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared at all with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reads like this. It says, "And this small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on the things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever." Titus 2 and verse 13 says this, "As we wait for the blessed day we hope for, when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will appear." All these verses encouraging us to look forward, to have hope in something, not to look back, not to look down, but to look forward. Look forward to the things that we're going to do. Look forward to that place where we're going to be, Because the fact is, in the New Testament, that as Christians, this world has very little to offer us. The New Testament has very few promises for this world. Most of our promises are for things that we can't see yet. He says, I've told you this so that you will have peace by being united in me. The world will make you suffer, but be brave. I have defeated the world. Christ has conquered this earth and all the things on this that are on it. We need to be able to focus on that hope. There's only one hope. There's only one destination, and it's something that we all must share, because there will be no divisions or distinctions there. It doesn't matter who you were on this earth when you get to heaven. All that matters is the fact that you were a Christian. So tonight we must be looking forward. We must have our eyes on the goal that is ahead of us, because that's where we're going. We can't turn back the clock. As much as I would like to go back to the time when I was 5 years old and get all of those toys again, I can't do it. Some of you would even ask the question, why on earth would you want to go back? I don't know. I don't really want to go back. I've been through all the drama and stuff that I can stand, you know, for the first 20-some years of my life. The object of Christ coming was to destroy the evil of this world. There is a day coming when we will be with God. Isn't that a great thought? That's such a comforting thought to me when I think that one day I will get to be with God. And I'll get to ask Him all these questions that I have. You know, why God did you do this? Why God did you do that? I don't care how long the line is. I will get back in it over and over and over again. We may have spots and wrinkles on our skin right now, but they'll soon be gone. The sin will be taken out of us and we'll actually get to see God. If that's not a better thought than being with God, I don't know what is. Not only do you get to be in His awesome presence, but you actually get to see Him. When not even Moses was allowed to see God. We get to stand in His presence and we get to see Him as He is for all the things that He is. What an awesome hope we have as followers of Christ. To be able to look upon God. So tonight the question is, are you in the kingdom? Have you made that decision to be part of the kingdom that was made this morning? We all need to keep in mind Colossians 3, verses 1 through 2, if you have made that decision. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Not looking down, not looking back, but looking up and focusing on Christ and the hope that we have with Him. If there's anything that we can possibly help you with tonight, I ask that you please come as we stand and sing.